This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
News Radio 1070 WINA, I'm Coy Barefoot, and Dr. Ronald L. Mallett is a leading scholar and an innovative force in theoretical physics. He went public in July of 2002 with an announcement at the International Association for Relativistic Dynamics. His lecture, A Detailed Analysis of Einstein's General Relativity, as well as a cross-section of high-level 20th century physics, concluded with his stunning pronouncement that he had developed a theoretical blueprint for a working time travel machine. Dr. Ronald Mallett's new book is Time Traveler, A Scientist's Personal Mission to Make Time Travel a Reality. Good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much, Coy. It's a pleasure to be with you.
We want to point out that you are currently a professor of theoretical physics at the University of Connecticut, and we have two copies of this book that we're going to be giving away at the end of the interview. So, listener, if you're interested, sit by your phone. I'll tell you how you can get one. If we could start just by, when did you know, at what point in your life did you know that physics was for you? Because it's not the kind of thing that most kids, you know, when they're sitting on the playground, they think, I'm going to be a physicist when I grow up.
Well, that's right. It didn't happen to me that way either. What happened was actually very personal and had a somewhat tragic beginning. My father was a television repairman in Bronx, New York, and I was very close to him. I was the oldest of four children, and he spent a lot of time with me. And the thing is that what we didn't realize was that he had a very weak heart, and he died suddenly of a massive heart attack, and he was only 33 years old, and I was 10, and it completely turned my world upside down. I went from being a happy kid to a depressed kid. But one of the things I liked to do was to read. I loved reading science fiction, and about a year after he died, when I was about 11, I came across H.G. Wells' book, The Time Machine. And that's what saved me, because I had this inspiration. I thought, if I could build a time machine, then I could go back into the past and then see him again and be with him and then tell him about what was going to happen. And hopefully that might save his life. So that became a dream of mine and an obsession to try to build a time machine. And what about a couple of years after that, I came across a popular book about this genius I had heard of called Einstein, who said that time was not something that was fixed, that time could, in fact, be changed. And that meant to me that H.G. Wells' story was connected to real fact, to physics. And so I realized that that's what I was going to have to do. Now, when I started studying Einstein, I realized I was going to have to learn a lot more science and math in order to really understand what he was saying. But that was the beginning for me. That was the beginning of my real interest in science, was the desire to build a time machine.
Dr. Ron Mallett is a professor of theoretical physics at the University of Connecticut. The new book is Time Traveler. What was the reaction from some of the folks in the scientific world when you started having these conversations and sharing some of these ideas with people?
Well, the thing is that I should mention that even after I had this notion as a child, I was astute enough to realize that people were already worried about me, and so I better keep this a secret. So I did. I mean, I didn't tell anyone about this notion of that what I wanted to do. And it was not easy for me to even try to realize. I mean, college was not something automatically in my future. After my father died, we actually went into a state of poverty. And so I had to go into the service after I got out of high school to try to save the money to go to college. And eventually I ended up at Penn State, where I got my bachelor's, master's, and PhD degree in physics. But all during that time, I didn't tell my colleagues. The only person I told initially was when I went to college was a girlfriend, and then I eventually told my wife, but I didn't tell any of my colleagues because I figured that this was not going to be a way to make it up the academic ladder. In fact, I knew it was going to be professional suicide. So the way in which I got around that is that it turns out that black holes are a phenomena that was studied by physicists who's working with Einstein's ideas, and black holes can affect time. So by studying black holes, I could study Einstein's theory and study how time was going to be affected, but without bringing that sort of attention to myself. So it wasn't until finally, late in my career, when I finally made my major breakthrough, which was initially in year 2000 when I published in a scientific journal this work, that I even thought about discussing this openly. So, and when I did, the reaction surprised me, because the thing is that it was accepted that because my work was solidly based in Einstein's work, that it was believed that this is a possibility. And that's an important thing to realize, that my work is anchored in Einstein's work.
I find this so fascinating and amazing that we actually have physicists now in America talking and studying time travel as a real possibility. Let me back up 1 minute. There may be some folks listening who, you know, we hear black hole mentioned all the time, you know, black holes in space. What exactly is a black hole?
Sure. The thing is that all stars, and our sun is one of them, they provide us energy by having nuclear reactions that go on inside them. I mean, and what a star like our sun is that this fuel that gives energy off to us is balanced by the fact that the gases of the sun actually try to pull the star in. So our sun is like giving out energy, but gravity is trying to pull it together. What happens eventually is that the sun and other stars will eventually burn out. And when they do, the sun will start to collapse, and other stars do the same thing. And this is when things get interesting. When a star starts to collapse, the gravity around the star starts increasing, and there will be a point at which the gravity around the star will be so great that the light that tries to come out of the star gets pulled back to the star. So imagine this: as the star is collapsing, shrinking, gravity is building up around it, and so the light that we normally see coming out of the star gets pulled back to the star. So if all the light is getting pulled back to the star, what are you going to see?
Nothing. Yeah.
That's a black hole. A black hole is simply a star that has collapsed to a point where all of the light that tries to get out of it gets pulled back, and so all we see is a black hole in space where the star used to be.
And is there, if you were to go up to it, is it actually, like, how big is it? Is it as big as it was before? Does it shrink down to, like, you know, the size of a quarter? I mean...
Well, that's a good point. I mean, the thing is that if... typically, if our sun, and our sun won't actually go into a black hole, but there are some stars, when they finally shrink and become a black hole, they might only be about 4 miles across, even though they were millions of miles across initially, okay? They will only be a few miles across, finally. And this... So when you get close to the star, you won't know anything is happening until you actually get right up to the star. And then if you do, you don't want to cross over into it, because what will happen is that once you cross over to the other side of the star, then you will actually be pulled to pieces by the black hole as you fall towards the center of it.
Because there's just so much gravity there.
Because there's so much gravity there that it will actually tear you apart.
We're talking with Dr. Ron Mallett of the University of Connecticut, where he is a professor of theoretical physics. His new book is Time Traveler, A Scientist's Personal Mission to Make Time Travel a Reality. So tell us now about the theoretical grounding. How would we make a time machine then?
Okay. Well, coming back to the black hole, not only does the black hole affect light, but it also affects time, and it's the gravity of the black hole that affects time. That is to say that what Einstein said was that gravity can slow time down. It can actually make time run slower. And this actually happens even here on the Earth. The gravity here on the Earth that keeps us, you know, anchored to the ground, clocks on the surface of the Earth actually run at a different rate than clocks on board satellites. For example, the clocks aboard GPS satellites are actually running at a different rate than clocks here on the Earth, because clocks here on the Earth are so close to the center of the Earth, they're running slower. My work is based on using gravity to slow down time. And what I found was that, and this is the key, is the fact that people normally think that the only thing that can affect gravity is matter. For example, the mass of the Earth is what creates gravity and holds us down. It turns out in an Einstein theory, light can do the same thing. Light can actually create gravity. And so you can use that to control time, because remember I said that gravity controls time? So if light can create gravity, then you can use light to control time. And what I found was that by using lasers, you can actually control time. You can actually twist time into a loop and travel back into the past. As strange as it sounds, that's a possibility. And there's a simple way of actually trying to see how this happens. What you have to do is you have to create a particular pattern of light. In other words, say that you bounce light off of a series of mirrors so that you get a light beam that's circulating around. And you can get a light beam to circulate around a number of different ways, but just the point is that what you have to do is to get light to circulate around in a loop. And once you do that, then light, the circulating light, will actually cause empty space to become twisted and time to become twisted. And now I know that sounds rather abstract, but the simple way of thinking about it is that imagine that you have a cup of coffee sitting in front of you. And think of the coffee inside that cup as being like empty space. And think of your spoon as being like a circulating light beam. Now, what happens when you take the spoon and stir the coffee? The coffee swirls around. Well, if you take a circulating beam of laser light, you can stir empty space just like you're stirring coffee in a cup. And you might say, well, how am I going to see that if it's empty space? Well, in the case of the coffee, if you put a little sugar cube in there, as you're stirring the coffee around, the sugar cube will move around. In the case of empty space, if we take a little particle that's called a neutron that's made up in the atom and put it into that empty space, then as I stir the empty space, then the neutron will swirl around, so I'll see that. Now, what happens in Einstein's theory is that whatever you do to space also happens to time. Normally, we think of time as being a line going from the past to the present to the future. But if I'm twisting space, then eventually I can twist time into a loop. So imagine you take the straight line of time and make a loop out of it, a circle out of it. Then what you can do is you can move from the past to the present to the future, but you're moving along a loop. So you can move from the future back into the past. So by using a circulating beam of light, you can twist empty space and you can twist time into a loop. And moving along that loop in time, you can go back into the past.
Dr. Ron Mallett is the author of the new book, Time Traveler, A Scientist's Personal Mission to Make Time Travel a Reality. And lest a listener think that this is all too fanciful or implausible, as you remind us at the very front of your book, in 1902, an eminent astronomer said that manned spaceflight was impractical and, if not, impossible.
That's right. Exactly so. The thing is that in the year after that, the Wright brothers proved them wrong by building manned flight. And the laws of physics allow us to travel in time. And the 21st century will be the century of time travel, just as the 20th century was the century of air and space travel.
It's absolutely amazing. I want to thank you for joining us and thank you for the work you're doing. I think it's really brave in science, especially in an academic setting at a university, to throw out some of these ideas that you would just think people would just laugh, oh, that's so silly. But to have the courage to say, no, the science is here. We just need to study it more and work on it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you and to share these ideas with your listeners.
Dr. Ron Mallett, the theoretical physics professor at the University of Connecticut. The new book is Time Traveler, A Scientist's Personal Mission to Make Time Travel a Reality. This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at cvillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.